That sermon this morning caused me to realize how faithful God is to pour us from vessel to vessel, and that we don't have to try to pour ourselves, but if we will just be in the presence of the Lord and be willing to do His will, He does indeed do a beautiful job of pouring us from vessel to vessel, and that He will never pour us into a jug that we cannot fit into. Even though at the time that He begins to pour, we might feel like we can't, the Lord knows that we can, and He knows that He will give us the strength and help to do so. I would like to bring you just a few incidences out of my own life that will illustrate these points and show how God, as I have looked back, how God has poured me from vessel to vessel, and how He has always been there with His strength and with His hand to help me to fit into that position. As most of you know, I was terribly, terribly shy when I was a little girl. So terribly so that I never once raised my hand in school at all. I wouldn't play with any of the children. I'd always just go out and stand behind a certain bush. But there came a day when I had to change school. And that was a very difficult time for me, because we were going to move from the farm that we were on to a larger farm. And I was absolutely terrified of changing schools. I realized that it was a much bigger thing in my life than it would be most. And I felt like that I absolutely could not be poured into that vessel. I felt like that, and I cried before the Lord. And because I was a little girl on a farm with brothers, and I didn't have any playmates, I learned to make Jesus my best friend. And Jesus and I had a very close relationship, even as I was a girl. And so I could come to Him with all of my problems. I learned to do that. I could communicate with Him. I never did feel one with the farm life. I always felt just a little bit out of place. I never did enjoy farm life. I spent most of my time in the house and in the kitchen, even though my duty was to feed the chickens, and I did do that. But I didn't really fit in, but I took Jesus as my friend. And so when this very traumatic experience entered my life, I began to cry and wait upon God, because I didn't know what I was going to do. I wouldn't have any bush to stand behind. What was I ever going to do at recess? And I knew I wouldn't have a single friend in the whole wide world. I was in fourth grade. How was I going to go into this other school? And you know, the Lord came and so sweetly gave me a vision of Himself at that time. And I will never forget that vision as I saw the face of the Lord just intensely staring at me with love, desiring so much to meet my need and causing me to know that He would be my all-sufficiency. And as I went to that school, I found out that He was, and that He did meet that need in my life, and He helped me over that period of time. Well, as time went on, and I entered the teen years, and so forth, my mother encouraged me and wanted me to participate in a Bible club that they were having that summer. She wanted me to take the tiny tots. And again, now here was a new experience for me, a brand new thing that I was to do. And I was so afraid to take that, but my mother knew that I had the capabilities of moving into that area, and I was about 14 or 15 at this time. And so I studied hard, I got my lesson, and oh, I didn't know how I was going to stand before those 3- and 4-year-olds and present the gospel to them. And so I remember with shaking knees, I began, and my mother and this woman that we held it in her house were staying in the kitchen. And as I began, I had the little one stand, and I began to pray, and I broke down, and I just started crying right there in front of them. And they, you know, stood there and stared at me with their big eyes while I cried and cried and cried. But, you know, it did something in both of our hearts. And they didn't think that I was some great big teacher anymore. And it seemed like it just put a trust in their hearts for me. And that day, as I began to explain the wordless book, a little colored girl gave her heart to the Lord. She was 3 years old, and I will never forget the gleam on her face and how that after that she would come and she would sing the song. She would always be a praise behind everybody else, But she was so intent upon finishing the song that she'd let her voice ring out after everybody else was finished because she wanted to say, Jesus loves me, this I know. And oh, that thrilled my soul when I found out that it wasn't so bad to be poured into that vessel. And as we saw child after child come to the Lord and a church established in that neighborhood because of that Bible club, oh, it was such a joyful thing to my heart to see the work that God did there. And then as I continued to grow in the Lord, and as John came down to Bible college and I met him and we got married, there was other steps there that God had to do works in my heart. And as we began our life together, I made a commitment to the Lord that I would do anything that any pastor asked me to do, excepting I told the Lord I did not want to ever be responsible for giving a message in tongues, interpretation, or prophecy. But I told the Lord I would do anything else for him. And I said, Lord, I'm going to count it as any shepherd that I'm under, that you will direct him. And even though I cannot see and don't know how I can do something, if he asks me to do it, I'm going to say yes. I'm never going to say no unless I have to because of a doctrinal difference or something like that. But as long as I believe in it, I'm going to say yes. And Don and I started, after we were married here in Tacoma, we moved back down to the Boise Valley area, and our first residence was out on a little farm in Nampa, Idaho. And there we went to a little church there in Nampa. We had to walk about 3 miles to get to the church, but in those days we were young enough to do it, and it was no problem at all. In fact, we really enjoyed the walk, and the pastor was so thrilled to have a new young couple in his congregation. And he asked me to be young people's leader. They needed a young people's leader at that time. And, oh, I thought, oh, my first assignment, and the Lord made a mistake. I mean, how can I possibly get up in front of a group of young people and lead the young people's service? And the young people's service was from 6 to 7 before the regular service. But do you know, with fear and trembling, I said, all right, Lord. I said yes to the pastor, even though I didn't understand how I could possibly do that, timid little me. But you know, God helped me to do that. And we saw those young people's meetings grow. And in fact, they got so good that all the older people began to come. And also the younger ones began to come. And the pastor's daughter was filled with the Holy Spirit under her pew, and she was only 4 years old. And in one of our young people's services, and it was beautiful to see what God did as we were faithful to let God fit us into that mold, even though it was very, very difficult to fit into that. When we moved up to Seattle, Don, we found ourselves in a church in the North End, and there Don was asked to take a group of unruly boys, the boys' class. And God did miracles in that class and really began to work. I found myself working with the kindergarten children, and it was such a thrill to begin to develop the classes and to see the response of those little children. And then as we transferred locations in the city, we began to go to a church downtown, the little chapel. And by now, we had 2 children. Daniel was born when we went to that church. And again, God began to give me responsibilities that I hadn't had before in the Sunday school department and in being over other teachers and organization in ways like that. And the children's church fell into my hands as well. And as I just said, all right, Lord, I will do what the pastor asked me to do, I found that God helped me in every one of these steps, you see. I felt like it was far above my abilities, far above my experiences at that particular time. But God helped me and enabled me time and time again as I relied completely upon him. Then we moved out to the West Seattle area, and because of the distance, we had yet not acquired a car, and David was on the way, and it got more difficult to take the children clear to into the city for on the bus to church. And so we transferred churches again and began to go to a church in West Seattle, and it was a little closer, even though, of course, we still had to go on the bus. David was born when we went to the church there in West Seattle, and we wouldn't think of missing services. We never missed a service. rain, shine, snow, whatever, we always went to every service unless we happened to be out of town on vacation or something like that. But our children didn't know what it meant to stay home on Sunday morning or Sunday night. We always took them. And we bundled them up and caught the bus and with all the paraphernalia and everything it takes with two in diapers and went to church. And there, I found myself in other responsibilities. The pastor there asked me to be in charge of the young married couples group as far as fellowships were concerned and things like this. And also they had in that church a program of giving showers to new mothers and so forth. And they asked me to be in charge of the showers. They asked me to be in charge of various fellowships. And all of these things were a step of faith for me to take these responsibilities. But I can see now the hand of God in it. I can see where God was molding me and making me into something. That He was pouring me from vessel to vessel that I might learn from each one of these experiences. And there in that church is when I first began. Friend, and she knew that she could rely upon me. She knew that if she would call me and say, "Oh, company just dropped in. I don't know what I'm going to do," and I said, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it, and I'll bring her over food and have it ready, and just different little things like this." And whatever I did with all of my heart. But I learned something in particular in that particular position. And I remember as we were in charge of the young married couples. We would have fellowships about every 6 weeks. And, oh, I just wanted to do such a good job. I wanted the pastor to know that I had put my whole heart into it. And so these dinners that we would have, I planned them out meticulously. And I remember this particular dinner. I mean, it was lavish. And I went to great lengths to fry all of the chicken and to have a Polynesian type of a dinner and we had decorations. We fixed up the auditorium and as we were down there just working feverishly and I had found out dozens of baked potatoes in other people's ovens, you know, and all of this, and I had the whole thing organized, and I could see that everything was fitting into place and it was coming along so well, and the pastor came down to view it. And we had it elaborately decorated with streamers, you know, and a fountain, and I just thought that it was just looked beautiful, but I could see a hurt look on his face. It hurt me so much because he was hurt. He was disappointed. He could see that I was missing it. He could see that I was going overboard on the extremes. And I was putting the emphasis on the wrong thing. He never said anything to me. But I saw the hurt look on his face, and I knew that I had disappointed my pastor. It just broke my heart. I never forget the lesson I learned. I knew why he was disappointed, even though he never said anything. I could see where I was making a mistake, and I was going out after just trying to make the next dinner better than the last dinner. And instead of being concerned with the spiritual and guiding it in the right direction. And I just wept before the Lord and I asked God to forgive me for that. And from that time on, my direction in planning things changed drastically. That I really learned something from that one experience that has never left me. And so I can see as God has chosen to pour me from vessel to vessel, and how each one of these experiences in being in a new area has increased and enlarged my ability to serve Him. That particular pastor also asked me to stand out in the foyer and to greet people as they came in and to greet the new ones. And when he asked me to do that, I didn't know. I thought, now this is absolutely the end, Lord. I can't possibly do something like that. I mean, I am so shy. I can't. How can I look somebody in the eye and smile at them, a stranger no less, and welcome them and make them feel welcome? But I said, well, there must be a reason. The pastor must think I can do it, or he wouldn't have asked me to do it. And so I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I said, yes, I would do it. And oh, I didn't know how, the first time I was out there, I'll never forget it. My knees were shaking. I didn't know what I was going to do when a person walked through that door that I didn't know. But when they did, I just stepped out of myself and right into the Lord. And I put out my hand and I smiled at him and I said, good morning. We're happy to have you. What is your name? And I found out that the Lord could just even blow through me in that way. And now I can see the advantage of having to go into that vessel and become that for a while. It helped to do something in my own life. It helped to give me confidence. It helped me to get to be able to relate to people in another area that was so very, very necessary. Little did I know during all of this time what it all was building up to and what it all was leading to. I had no idea that each one of these things at that time was a training step for me to be able to go into another vessel. It was during that particular period of time in that church that God began to deal with me about giving a message in tongues and interpretation. And oh, how I fought it. I didn't want to give it. I was afraid to give it. You see, I had been hurt very severely in my own family through a false prophecy that had gone forth as a result of a revival that we were in, that man began to manipulate as God poured out his spirit. Man began to assume what God's will was, and a particular evangelist came by in that revival and told us that we all had all nine gifts of the Spirit and we could operate the gifts. Now, just previous to this man coming by, a real man of God came in and we wanted him to teach us about the gifts. We were so thrilled with the new move of God. And Brother Cathcart was his name, and he said, no, you're not ready for the gift. You need to learn how to live holy lives. You need to learn how to die to self. You need to stay in Romans 6 and not try to jump over that and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He began to teach us on dying to self. And he said, next time when I come through here, then we'll see if you're ready for the gift. Well, in the meantime, after he left, another evangelist came through, and our pastor, being like he was, he could be blown about by every wind of doctrine. Whoever came through, we believed that for a while. And as a girl, I got used to this, you see, because whenever a man would come through, our pastor would blow that way, and we'd all blow with him, and somebody else would come along and blow, and we'd go that way, see. And so, being brought up in that church, I was kind of used to blowing along. And so, another man came by, and he told us, guess what? You've all got all nine gifts. Well, this was a thrill to us. I mean, that's what we wanted. Whoopies, excitement, you know, the supernatural and this. And so one of the Bible college teachers then, with this information, began to encourage, especially the girls in the church, to begin to prophesy. And so he said, prophesy anything that comes to your mind, you know. And so, consequently, there was a lot of false prophecies that began to go forth. It was during this particular period of time that Don saw what was going on, and he said, I know if God ever moves again, what my responsibility is going to be. And my responsibility is going to be to teach the people, to keep them in the middle of the road, so that man's big foot can't get in what God's trying to do. Because we saw that revival crash in a very short period of time, and it broke our hearts. But consequently, during that revival, my brother, who had joined the army, was in Japan, and when the Korean War broke out, he was one of the first soldiers to go to Korea. And because of that, he very shortly was missing in action in Korea. And my mother, needless to say, was very, very concerned along with the rest of the family. And so we prayed very much for Jim. Well, we didn't hear from Jim, and we didn't hear, and we didn't hear. And so the longer the time was, the more concerned and discouraged my mother became. And a girl in the church, of course, feeling a heart for my mother, stood up and prophesied that my mother would see Jim alive on this earth again. Well, 4.5 years after he was taken captive, we found out that he was killed and that he would not return when the prisoners of war were released after the Korean War. We learned that Jim had been killed in the prison camp because he would not go along with the brainwashing, that they had taken him out and shot him. And this so shook my mother's faith in God that she felt like God had let her down, and she turned her back on God, not having any solid teaching from the pastor, like I mentioned, that was blown about by every wind of doctrine. And so I saw my mother backslide. I saw all of my brothers and sisters, the ones that my sis and my, I had one sister, and my brothers who knew the Lord turned their back on God. My mother then got out into sin, divorced my father, and caused a lot of personal heartache. She, because my family was away from God and I was the only one walking with the Lord, then there was a separation between us and an unacceptance and this for 15 years until my mother came back to the Lord, and she's walking with the Lord today. She did turn after 15 years of serving the devil, come back and serve the Lord again. But because of this prophecy, I told the Lord that I did not want anything to do with that. Well, in this particular church then in West Seattle, God began to deal with me about giving forth a message in tongues and interpretation. And that particular church happened to have a lot of Norwegian people in it, which are kind of old, coldish, you know. They were sort of oh, not upper class, but they were upper class to me in my position where I was at that particular time. Now I realize they weren't, but to me, you know why they were. And a lot of older people, they loved the Lord, but there wasn't the freedom and spontaneity that we experience today. And there wasn't the praise and the worship that would go forth. And there wasn't the manifestation of the gifts. And so God began to deal with me about giving forth a message. But every time God would anoint me, I would say, "No, Lord, no, Lord, I can't do it, I won't do it." And I would stiffen my back and say no. And then finally, one day when I happened to have a visitor with me, God's Spirit came down upon me in such a particular way, and He caused me to know if I wouldn't yield this time, that His Spirit was going to lift from me. Well, now that time I had another excuse standing beside me. What will my visitor think? They were saved, but what will they think, you know? And I didn't yield to the Lord, and that was the last time for about 7 years that God dealt with me about giving forth a message in tongues. Well, shortly after that period of time, we moved further out here in the south end, up here not too far, just a few blocks from the church, and the distance became quite prohibitive for us to continue to go to West Seattle Assembly. And at that particular time, because we needed an addition on our house, I went to work for a while. And during the time that I went to work was the time when we changed churches out at Des Moines Assembly. We began then to go to Des Moines Assembly, and the pastor there asked Don to take the Bible class. And so when we first started to go there, I was working, and it was difficult for me to do much excepting to work in the Sunday school, which I was familiar with. But it wasn't too long until God began to lay upon my heart that people, and especially began to give me such a hunger in my heart to see a move of God among the young people now that Carolyn was just getting ready to go into teenage. I wanted my children to experience a revival like I had experienced so badly. Then I began to pray and wait upon God, and I made a covenant with God that I would begin to pray for those young people every single morning. And so as soon as I would get my children off to school, before I did the dishes, before I did another thing, I would go into the bedroom and I would name those young people by name and begin to pray for them. And I continued to do this from the time school started, the 1st of September, until about the middle of December. And one particular day, there, as I was waiting upon God, the power of God came down upon me, and I just began to weep and cry, and I felt like I was face to face with the Lord. And God began to deal with me about taking that young people's group. And I said, "No, Lord, I can't do that. They have a young people's leader. I haven't been asked. The pastor hasn't asked me to take the group. I can't do it." And God began to deal with me and said, "I want you to take that group. I want you to minister to that group. You have something that you can give them that will help them, and without it, they're not going to make it." And I argued with God and argued with God for, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, when I finally went to the phone, see, now this was a new step. Now I was going to ask the pastor if I could fill a position instead of the pastor asking me. I was being poured into a new vessel, and it was a difficult vessel to be poured into. But I knew that I had to do it, and so finally I said yes to the Lord. I went to the phone, and with tears streaming down my cheeks, I said, Pastor Delgatti, God has been dealing with me all morning, and I think He wants me to work with the young people. And he said, well, we have a young people's leader, and I said, well, I know that you do, but I know that God wants me to work with the young people. And he says, well, what do you have in mind? What do you want to do with them? Well, I didn't know what I wanted to do with them at that point. But just then, God dropped a whole series in my mind to teach them. And I said, well, you know, I think that the Lord wants me to teach them on the end time event, a subject that I knew well because I'd sat in Don's class even before we got married and heard him teach it by hundreds of times by then. And so he said, well, all right, that sounds feasible. I'll talk to the young people's leader and see if maybe we could work you in a series to teach them on end time events. And so I said, all right, thank you, Pastor. Let me know. And I felt relieved. I knew that that wasn't what God wanted only. I knew that God didn't just want me to go in there and teach them on end time events and leave again. And I didn't know how God was going to work it out, but I was satisfied that I had done my part, that I'd done what God had been dealing with me to do. And as it turned out, I went in and began to teach them on end time events, and those students all of a sudden became alive. All of a sudden, God's power began to work in their hearts. All of a sudden, they began to have such a hunger for God and His Word, and they never had that before. They were just playing games and things like this in the young people's group. And the particular leader didn't have any vision. She didn't know how to lead them on into spiritual things. And as she began to see the change in the young people through that series, she came to me and said, you know, I think you need to take this group instead of me. I can see where you've got them right in your hand and I don't. I can't handle them. Why don't you just take them? And so God worked that out beautifully. And then I could see where the young people had such a hunger for the Lord. I wanted to begin to teach them on how to witness. They'd never witnessed before. They didn't know anything about witnessing. And so to show them that they didn't know anything about witnessing, I said, I'm going to come next week and pretend to be an unconverted person. And I want you to try to convert me. And so, okay, you know, they all felt pretty confident. After all, they'd been in Sunday school all their lives, etc. And they thought they could do it. And so I came with a big wad of gum in my mouth, you know. And now that was something different for me to do. And I sat down as a rebellious teenager. And I began to ask them questions. And they found out they couldn't answer my questions. I could snow them in just no time at all. And you should have seen those young people. All of a sudden, they were hunting through the Bible for answers. They thought they knew the Scriptures, but now they couldn't find it. And they were searching through, oh, I know it's in here someplace, you know. And, oh, the Bible does say that, doesn't it? And I said, well, you're the teacher. I'm trying to learn from you. And what, you know, and I pull my gum out like... And they found out they didn't know. Well, all of a sudden, when I came back to be teacher again, they said, we need a series on how to win souls. And so I was able to take them through how to win souls. And we went through dry runs. And then I ordered some tracts and some papers, and we went out door-to-door witnessing. Now, that was a new step for me. I'd witnessed, but not door-to-door. Not going and just knocking, because none of the churches had done it. And so I hadn't been led into that area. But I took those young people out and we began to witness door to door all the thrill that we experienced, the joy of the Lord, the unity that we had, the way God moved, the opportunities we had to witness to young people. And I saw those young people in the 7 years that I worked with them grow from point zero clear up until they learned how to be men and women of God. And I was so thrilled with the move of God and what God did. Well, during the last part of this 7 years, I began to work as a welcome wagon hostess, and that was a new step for me, too, in public relations, going out and meeting the businessmen in the area. I had to go talk to bankers and different ones like this. It was kind of our own little business, and we had to get our own sponsors, and so we had to go talk to the banker, the bank managers, and have them and sell them the program and get them to support us and sponsor us and so forth. And so there was a lot of communication with the leaders in the community, and consequently I got to know a lot of the leaders in the Des Moines area and also in the Burien area. I had to go to the Chamber of Commerce meetings and sit on them and tell them about different people that were moving into the area and all of this. So all of that I learned was good experience for me, though, in learning how to meet these people who ordinarily I would have been afraid to even face. But it was during the time that I was a welcome wagon hostess, and the only reason I took the job was so that I could witness. It was a very low paying job per hour that you put into it, actually, because of all the paperwork and so forth that had to be done. But I took it because it gave me an opportunity to get in every new home, every new family that moved into the area, and tell them about Jesus. And oh, I just thrilled. I did more for the Lord than I did for the welcome wagon. I'd spend 45 minutes talking about welcome wagon, and sometimes an hour and a half, 2 hours over that, talking about the things of the Lord. I got to pray with women and lay hands on them for healing, and many. For the welcome wagon, I'd spend 45 minutes talking about welcome wagon, and sometimes an hour and a half, 2 hours over that, talking about the things of the Lord. I got to pray with women and lay hands on them for healing and many, many, many different things. And so this is where we met Keith and Joanne Gunn, as you know, and it wasn't too long until we found that we had a congregation on our hands. I didn't know how I could ever be a pastor's wife. I felt like I just couldn't. I knew that God, as this thing began to develop, that God was calling us into the ministry here together. And I was to be a pastor's wife, and I didn't know how I could ever be a pastor's wife. But we found ourselves with a church on our hands. I knew Dan could be a pastor. That was no problem at all. I mean, because he can do just anything. And so I knew. But how could I possibly be a pastor's wife? But I knew that God could help me. I knew that He hadn't ever let me down in the past. And I knew I was going to be called to do many things that I'd never done before. But oh, God gave me such a heart for the people as we began to have the Bible studies in our home. And as they got saved, I found myself on the phone all day long just answering their questions. It wasn't too long until I found myself giving morning Bible studies to women as they became hungry for the Word of God. It wasn't rare at all for me to be 4 o'clock in the afternoon with still my house coat on and the beds unmade because I've been on the phone all day with these new babes telling them about the wonderful things of the Lord. And it was so wonderful to see what God was doing in the move of God. And as the church got started, I still didn't feel like a pastor's wife. I felt like I was moved into areas that I'd never experienced before. I found myself, even though I had taught songs in the young people's group, but now I found myself having to teach songs. And I didn't realize it. Later I learned out that I started everything in A. They said, we always know when Barbara begins to teach us a song, it's going to be an A, whoever was playing the piano. See. But no one else knew the songs. So Don and I ended up having to teach the songs. We wrote the bulletin. We taught the classes. We were in charge of the service. I was so thankful when Cal and Mary came in, because then Cal could start leading the singing, and I didn't have to anymore. But we found that one by one, God began to supply the different members to the body. But at first, there weren't any members that are capable, and so God and I found ourselves in the position of filling all of the different and various duties that there were to do. It wasn't until we went to a convention in Palm Springs about a year or so, I think it was after the church got started, the church decided to send us to a minister's convention. And that convention means so much to me because the very first time I knelt down to pray before the convention started, as we went early to pray, God's power came upon me in a particular way, and God anointed me right then to be a pastor's wife. And I knew from that moment on that I was a pastor's wife. In fact, afterwards, I don't even suppose God remembers, I went to him and I said, I know I'm a pastor's wife. I said to him, I mean, he might have not realized the significance of it, but God had come down and did a special work in my heart at that particular time and anointed me to be a pastor's wife, and I knew that I could be what God needed me to be. As the Bible college got started and then asked me to teach, oh, there was another mold that I had to be fitted into, another vessel that I had to be poured into, and I felt like I couldn't possibly do it, but he needed me to do it. He didn't have anybody that was capable of taking that particular class. He couldn't take it. He was swamped already, and more so even than swamped. And his father also had all the classes that they could take. And he asked me to teach gift ministries. And I remember he says, well, you know the subject, don't you? And I said, yes, I know the subject. And so he says, well, if you know the subject, there's no reason why you can't teach it then. All you have to do is just, you know, and so I said yes. And I found that I had to rely completely upon the Lord, just as I've always had to do. But God came through and anointed me, and he blessed and helped and gave revelations. And I'm just so thankful for each one of these steps that God took me in way back there, because it helped so much. And now I can see where every single one of them were very, very useful in the ministry that God is now performing. I'm looking forward to the future with shaking knees, but anticipation. I realize that God is not through pouring me yet. I realize that God has done a great deal in my life, and I thank God for the knowledge of him that I have. I thank God for the experiences in prayer that I've had. I thank God that I feel like that if I were called home tonight, that I'm ready to go. I feel like I can fit right into heaven with no problem whatsoever. I feel like I can be right at home sitting on the throne of God with Jesus. That's how close I feel to him. But I know that there are other vessels for me to be poured into. And as I look by the eye of faith and can see some of them, and know what God is going to do out here in the future, and know where we might be called to have seminars here for ministers, perhaps. Know how that God might be called out into a further ministry to unite the body of Christ around the world in doctrine. And how that this is going to require me to be poured into other vessels. Other vessels that are going to be very hard and foreign for me at this point. I would rather stay right here with you, because I know you love me, and I'm at home here with you. I can feel your love, and though it has been hard for me in some areas, you know, one of the very hardest things for me as a pastor's wife, you know what one of the most difficult things for me to do, to let happen to me, was to let people minister to me. That was so difficult. It was so hard for me to let people come over and help me with my housework and help me with things like this. See, I'd always helped others. I'd always been able to do my own housework and help somebody else too. And now I found myself in a position where I couldn't handle all of the ministry and do all of my own housework. And God would say, I want to get you help in here. And I'd say, oh no, I just can't. I can't. Oh no, I can't let him see my dust. I can't. You know, I don't want him to see that I don't have the ironing done. Oh, and do you know what happened? The particular woman, the young lady, just came over and just started to do it. I mean, she just showed up and she just began to befriend us and love us. And pretty soon I found her in the utility room folding my clothes, and pretty soon she just started ironing. And next week she showed up and ironed again. And that's how it happened to me, is that I just found out that God just up and dumped me into that mold. And John told me, well, you have to give the people an opportunity to minister. They need that opportunity of ministry, and oh, it's been such a blessing to me. Now, I don't know now what I would ever do without you. People come over and wash our windows for us, and just so many wonderful things like that. That is such a wonderful blessing. And now I don't know how I would ever have existed without all of those ministries that you have supplied us with, and I feel at home with it now. I'm able to accept it now. I'm able to enjoy it now and not get all tied up inside when somebody comes over to help. And so I feel at home. I feel comfortable. And as Don was preaching this morning, morning, I thought, oh, Lord, I know that God has something more for us right out here. I know that God is going to open a further door out here. I know that He wants to bring us to the unity of the faith. And that is when every time I kneel down to pray, God begins to deal with me about the unity of the faith. I can't get it off of my heart, and I can't get rid of the burden now. Every time I pray, it just draws up in my heart. I have such a burden for us to come to the unity of the faith. I want to be united with my brothers and sisters around the world, and have that same communion and fellowship that we have. I feel God's heart. I feel the hurt that God experiences because two brothers can't get along with one another, that they have differences and doctrine, and it keeps them apart, because they don't understand one another's hearts. And God is working on both of them. God loves both of them. God has saved both of them, and the little differences and little hurts keep them apart. I feel God's heart so strongly for this, that every time I pray an intercession, it comes again and again. Oh, God, bring us to the unity of the faith. For your great name's sake, Lord, unite us. I cried out to God and said, Lord, make me a healer. And I don't mean a physical healer, but I said, oh, God, use me to heal the wounds in these hearts, that they might be able to be united into the faith, because there has to be a healing in their hearts take place before they can come to the unity of the faith. And I don't know what the next step is going to be, but I know it has to do with the unity of the faith. God wouldn't be laying it on my heart so severely. In the prophecy that went over us when we were just married, the prophecy mentioned concerning my half of it, that God would use me as a forerunner. I didn't understand that. For a long time, I didn't know what God meant. But I have seen in this ministry what He has meant. And it doesn't mean that I run as a forerunner before dawn. That isn't it at all. It doesn't mean that I'm a forerunner in revelation or in the Word of God. That isn't, or in teaching or in knowledge of the Word or in shepherding or any of these positions that Don fills. It doesn't mean that. But I can see time and time and time again in this ministry that God begins to do a work in my heart, and He begins to lay things on my heart, and then in several months they come to pass. And if I had time, I could tell you about specific moves of God here in this assembly that God laid upon my heart to intercede for months and months before they happened. And I can see this ministry over and over and over and over again. That's what has happened. And so I'm telling you a little secret tonight. Don't tell anybody. But God is laying the unity of the faith upon my heart so very, very strongly. And I know that it's just around the corner. I know that there's something out here that's going to require all of us to be poured into another mold. God is going to do something else with us than He has done thus far. And it isn't going to be an easy step. But I know that the Lord will, if we will be faithful, supply all that we need to fit into that particular mold, and it will go a long ways to changing us from glory to glory, and then we're going to be able to experience more of the Lord as brothers and sisters are united in the faith. Then we will be able to experience more of the heart of God. We will be able to see more of the attributes. We will see more of the personality of God as He comes through various personalities, as we are united with our brothers and sisters around the world. And so I look forward by faith with the next step in God, even though I'm trembling inside. But I know my God is faithful, and that He will surely do all that is necessary to make me able to go into that next step in Him.